I believe the children are future.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Teach them well and let them lead the
what
way.
What else?
Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
You guys are good.
Give them a sense of pride.
Welcome to the podcast that is guaranteed to improve not only your photography, but your mind, body, and spirit as well. Full of interviews with the top image makers in the industry, where we talk photography, drink whiskey, and fill up the bathtub with High Life and PBR. So grab a juice box, a handful of unsalted almonds, and get ready for the show.
In this episode, we are joined with two superheroes, Miss Tracy Lee and Asawa. Is it Asawa Lee?
Asawa Lee.
Tracy, are you a real superhero?
I play one on TV.
What would you say you do? Who are you?
I don't know how to answer that. That's very, like...
Me neither.
That's a long...
I don't know how to ask it, actually. Let's start at the beginning.
And we've had, like, four days to discuss this, and we
still don't
know.
When did the spider bite you? And the superpowers came in.
I might have been somewhere from when I was born in the Cayman Islands until I grew up in Houston, somewhere in between that.
Somewhere in between there, there was a Cayman Island scorpion.
That bit me.
That bit you.
Just so turned me into the Energizer Bunny and made me do everything I could possibly do every single day of my life.
So I say that because over the years of knowing you, you've pretty much gone on every cool adventure I've ever dreamed of, and it seems like you do it every other day.
I did, until I decided to become a stunt actor.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So, you've got a million Instagram accounts that all have like a bajillion followers, which you are constantly producing content for all of these different hobbies, characters,
Genres, I guess.
Where did that all come from? And why don't you just put it all on the same Instagram account?
Well, so I was doing that, and Instagram doesn't like it if you post 10 times a day, and people that follow you don't like it if you post 10 times a day, so it was easier to separate it onto separate accounts and just kill myself trying to post on all these different Facebooks and Instagrams and Twitter accounts, and I'm on another app called Clapper, and then YouTube, and yeah, it's a lot.
What's Clapper?
Yeah, what is Clapper?
Clapper is like a knockoff.
Is this in the underbelly of Vegas?
Maybe a little bit. No, but Clapper is like a knockoff TikTok that is a lot more adult-oriented and less likely to take down any of your content. When I say adult-oriented, I mean they're just not going to, like, if you have a bathing suit on, they're not going to take it off. Or if you have a firearm in the video, they're not going to take it down.
All right, so more skin, more bullets.
Yes.
On Clapper. I've never heard of Clapper. Have you heard of Clapper?
I've never
David?
Heard of Clapper.
I have probably 30,000 followers on that app. Yeah.
Somewhere. So how many different social media accounts are you currently managing? And have you had any get taken down?
Oh, I don't want to answer that, but knock on wood, no.
Oh, okay, good.
No, not yet. Actually, one did get taken down, but I don't know why. It just disappeared one day. And all it is my main Instagram account that I first started with pictures of me and my friends. So I never got any notification that there was anything the matter.
Did you just not use it? Was it inactive?
No, I used it all the time. Huh. That was my first one, you know, just like I still hold it near and dear.
So
get ice cream on me?
Yes, it's everywhere. It's mostly on your face. We didn't want to tell you, but it's good. You're fine.
Okay.
So do you... If you had a business card, would it say photographer on it? What would it say? Or do you have all different cards for different accounts?
I used to have a business card, and it was like, I appeal to people's vanity.
Okay.
But I don't know what I would put on. And that was when I was only a photographer.
And what else are you now?
I'm a photographer. I am a stunt person. I am going to school. I just actually signed my paperwork and went through the admissions process today for gunsmith school, which I start next week as soon as they send me all.
What is gunsmith school? Are you like forging guns from the depths of Mordor? If I were to guess, you would go out.
That would be so cool.
You would go out to the mountain, find the metal that you would want. You would bring a big pickaxe. You would get it out of the mountain and carry it home.
All
burn
while
it down.
Photographing the Milky Way.
This is
overhead.
This is
while I'm
how
doing
I
it.
Think of you, Tracy. You do the craziest stuff, and you somehow spend like 400 days a year in some sort of hot springs.
I love hot springs.
I don't know how you find all these
hot
springs.
She loves hot springs.
I bet. Look at her. She's having a blast. She lucked out.
She's all like, you made me sit in this chair.
So where did you get the dog?
My brother breeds them. He has about 30 of them at any given time.
And how long have you had this one?
I've had her a little over 2 years. I got her in November of 2020 when things were crazy. I was like, I don't want a dog, but I'm not traveling right now. And I'm worried about who knows what craziness is going on. So I was like, I get a big protective dog.
Do you feel like you need protecting with a dog? With all
no,
the guns?
It's more like just protecting like
other people from you.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, that makes way more sense. That makes the most sense.
I was thinking more along the lines of keeping just people from wondering what's going on in my house. You know, just like, she's got a badass dog. We don't want to go in her house.
Yeah, it's the best. That's the best alarm for when you leave.
Right.
Big I mean, ass dog.
She sits at the gate and she just like. Neighbors go by and she just goes crazy and you know barking, and that's the only time you ever hear her bark.
Do you have a dog sign outside that's like a funny pun about the dog inside?
No, I just leave big shits right near
I
the
bet
front gate.
The shits are formidable.
Yes,
that dog.
And I just leave them right near the front gate. Like I pick up the rest of them and leave the ones near the front gate. So if they look in,
it's like
they're
a
all
Home
like,
Alone trap.
Yeah. They look in, they're like, oh.
So how much of your revenue or income is from photography?
Well, for a while there, especially in 2021 and 2022, it was a huge part of it because I was selling my work as NFTs. Prior to that, you know, traveling with EOFC, that was not a big money maker, but I enjoyed it so much and it was really a lot of fun and yeah. So I did that, but I never had really sold my images too much. More of the money that I got hired for, you know, doing photography was either portrait work or get hired for events and so on and so forth, which there's a lot of events in Vegas. I don't know if you know this about Vegas.
I don't.
But, I had no idea.
I just thought it was a lot of, you know, yard sales and some occasional
underbelly.
Yeah, the underbelly. What actually goes on? How long have you been in Vegas?
Over 15 years.
And what brought you here?
I came out here to help expand a website that I had started about nightlife. So when I got out here, okay, Asawa, weirdo. I got out here, I started, just hitting all the nightclubs, taking photos at the nightclubs and putting it on a website and handing out cards. And I mean, the first weekend I was here was Memorial Day weekend, and I got kicked out of the Palms by George Maloof himself because I saw him, and I was all like, oh, that's George Maloof. Went and took his picture, handed him a card. He's all like, you're out of here.
Who's George Maloof?
He owned the Palms.
Oh, and he didn't like the photo.
Was it just
a bad photo of him?
It's got to be really bad to get you kicked out.
Or he's
hotel.
One of the guys that just doesn't want to have images online of
well,
him.
At the time, no one was doing that here, so.
Oh, really? So no one was doing.
Sorry about my dog's farting.
No, you know what? We adopted a dog probably 6 months ago now, and it's so bad that we've nicknamed him Burnt Balloons because when he farts, it's. Monique, my girlfriend, came up with this. It smells like burnt balloons. It is awful. We have to repaint every time it happens.
Oh, my God.
It's, all right, anyway. So 15 years ago, event photography wasn't really a thing, but you were getting into it. Or it wasn't as normal as it is now.
Well, for me?
Yeah.
No, I came out here for, you know,
the
shooting
website.
In the clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it turned into eventually me doing event photography.
So are you like in clubs 4 or 5 nights a week, every night?
I was, not anymore.
Yeah.
No. I don't go to nightclubs if I can help it. I want nothing to do with
it. How long did that last before you're like, I can't live like this anymore? anymore.
Oh, I mean, I did it for a very, very long time. And then I started traveling with the UFC. I was like, oh, this is way more fun. And I started hitting, you know, fights all over the world. And I was shooting for a magazine originally, and then I started shooting for Fox News, and then I started shooting for Yahoo Sports. So, and that's over probably an 8 or 9 year period. And
the UFC is United Fried Chicken. It's chicken fights, cockfights, right?
Ultimate Fried Chicken.
Ultimate Fried Chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, how did you get into the UFC?
Ultimate Fighting Cocks.
Ultimate Fighting. And how old is the UFC? Is what, 10 years old, or is it older than that?
Oh, no, it's way older than that.
It's 30 years old? Yeah. I thought it was something kind of new.
It's their 30-year anniversary. Oh,
they're on, like, UFC, like, 756 right now.
Mm-hmm. So what is UFC 756?
So, like, every time they were having a fight, they have a number. Yeah, like a pay-per-view has a number.
700 fights.
It's not really 700.
It's 285.
Yeah, it's 2-something, but I was just...
But that's 285, not including their fight nights, because the fight nights have a different number, which is they're in the 60s or something, I think.
Yeah.
What's fight night? There where everyone gets in the cage?
Just a smaller card.
Do you remember the beginning of the UFC, how cool it was? It was insane. It was no holds barred. It was...
What's no holds barred? No one would stop you?
They could basically do whatever they want until the person was like... Out.
No time limit.
It was.
Could you do the thing where you put the hand in? Fishhook,
yeah. You could do whatever you want.
They could do everything. And it was crazy because, like, it was a round robin tournament, right? So, like, if you got done fighting, you didn't fight one time in that night. You got to fight, and then whoever won the next fight, you two would fight.
It was like
and until there was one person left in the ring. And it was like, there was a lot of those fights that ended with pure exhaustion. Like, no one. Like the two
nothing
dudes are just
in
there,
the
like, and they're built like, and just whoever was just a little, like, whoever drank a Red Bull before they went in was the one who won.
So, who was all right? So, you're doing UFC fights. Who's paying you to do that? UFC or individual fighters?
So while I was on the road with UFC, different the way that people were allowed to sponsor fighters was way different when I was traveling with the UFC. They didn't have like, Reebok sponsoring the entire clothing of the UFC. So different companies would hire me while I was on the road to shoot photographs of their fighters in their gear and so on and so forth.
Are these posed or in the ring?
Oh, and posed ones. Okay. I would bring lights and backdrops, and it was a lot of equipment to travel with.
Was it like more clothing brands then, or like more supplement brands, or
typically clothing brands? But you know, I mean, sometimes it was all different stuff.
Energy drinks, yeah, that's got to be a thing, right?
I mean, definitely a thing now.
Yep.
Look at you, you're drinking one.
I am. I've been on the show floor the whole day today.
I'm jealous.
It was a lot of.
I made it
socializing
like 3 rows.
Yeah, I've been there for 4 minutes.
I made it 3 rows.
We'll go tomorrow.
But everybody stops her.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't care about me. They're like,
we ran into each other.
We've seen you before.
No one stopped you? They're just like, yeah, bring it on in.
Oh, with her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I bring her to all the conventions in town.
And they're just cool with that. I guess they have to be.
We were talking about this downstairs, and I've noticed that, like, if you're just walking around the casinos now, there's dogs. Like, people are walking with dogs, and I don't remember ever seeing that in Vegas
before.
Yeah,
it's been, I would say, since the pandemic. Like, now, just everybody's...
The rules changed.
Lots of stuff changed after pandemic. Like, it's nice that everything's back to normal-ish. But, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of restaurants in the casinos that are open past 11 o'clock. And it used to at least have one 24-hour restaurant. And even then, I mean, it's really hard sometimes finding food late at night.
I know.
The only place you can go typically is Chinatown.
All right, so the UFC, when did you, do you still do that, or did you stop it at some point?
I stopped. Long story short, UFC didn't like me very much. I think it had a lot to do, and I could be wrong, but I think it had a lot to do with they don't control me. I don't work for them, and I had access to all the fighters. So I would do interviews with the fighters. I worked with Alienware Computers. Yeah. I would do interviews that would go on Alienware's YouTube channel, and
they wanted control over that, to license it almost.
Like, not necessarily license it, but control over what was said.
Oh, okay.
Creative editing.
Mm-hmm. And because I had access to all the fighters on my own, like I could call any of them up and say, hey, let's do this, or And we would go off and I would take them to the racetrack and go race cars, or I'd take them to the gun range and go shoot guns, or we'd go ride dune buggies. And I always had some type of adventure I would take the fighters on. If everybody knew, call Tracy, she's going to take you out to do fun stuff. So
that's basically right. What's the secret to doing a large amount of fun stuff?
I guess how do people never do it? Never being tired.
Okay, so never be tired. How do you never be tired?
I went to sleep at 1 last night. I think it was about 1, yeah. And then I woke up at 4.
So how are you not tired? Cocaine.
I don't do coke. Cocaine Bear.
Is Cocaine Bear based on you?
I watched Cocaine Bear. Does that mean
I don't know.
Osmosis through the screen or something?
Maybe.
I don't know. But no, I was hyperactive growing up, like bouncing off the walls. And somewhere I decided, I have normal people energy if I just don't sleep as much.
That's a technique. All right, never heard that one.
That can't be tough.
Worked.
Yeah. It worked.
It worked. So well.
If I'm exhausted, every night, 3 hours?
No. I'm not every night, 3 hours. But like, I was telling you this yesterday. I don't fight my body. If my body wants to go to sleep and it's tired and I need a nap, I'll take a nap. But if I want to, if my body wakes me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to fight it. I'll just get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'll just start doing some work, whatever. Then I'm not stressing out my body. My body's not like, I feel like people try to go to sleep and it stresses them out more because they can't get to sleep. And I'm like, I don't stress. Let's have no stress in our lives.
If I can't sleep, I just choke myself out until I pass out. You know,
That's a TikTok video.
Is it?
Yeah, the kids are dying doing that.
Oh, really? Wait, how are choking themselves with out? Their hand, or they must be using a belt? You can't choke yourself to death.
I don't know because I haven't seen the videos, but it's a blackout challenge.
The kids and their TikToks.
Challenges are like one of the worst things that ever happened to the internet. Just never
and
goes away.
It started with the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah, like, it was like, did. This is mundane. It. I'll just dump ice water on
that
myself.
Was the one and, I did.
Yeah, but then it's like eat a Tide Pod challenge and like hang yourself.
Murphy's challenge.
Yeah, yeah. I feel
but
like.
But remember the dance, the Harlem Shake. That was a good challenge.
Oh yeah.
Or the mannequin challenge. That was a good one too.
Technically, was the Harlem Shake the frozen one where you had to like freeze? Like
no, that's the mannequin challenge.
Yeah, I remember that one.
The Harlem Shake was a bunch of people in the video just wandering aimlessly. And all of a sudden, the music would drop, and then everybody's doing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah. God, that feels like 30 years. All right. So you are really successful at the social media. How do you use that to your advantage? How are you monetizing it?
So the biggest way I monetize it is I get new clients, and I'm able to run their social media for them. And I'm also able to monetize from doing paid posts or, you know, doing promotions with different companies. But for me, the biggest thing for solid, steady income is utilizing my ability to create and build accounts as a way to bring on new clients.
Okay, so you will find a client and then you'll take over their whole strategy. Are you creating or finding all their content too?
Depends on the client. So, right. One of my clients is a game company. And when I say game company, I'm talking like chess, checkers, like physical old school family board games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so unfortunately, Instagram's really hard to grow a new account at this point. So I would say Instagram's not doing fabulous for them, but TikTok is doing great. YouTube is doing great. So part of what I do is really just dive into different social media platforms as they come out. So when I got on TikTok, probably 4 or 5 years ago, everybody, I was posting, the TikToks to my Instagram stories, and everybody's like, why are you on that kids app? Why are you there? And I was all, well, the kids are there, so that means the money's there.
And everybody will go there. Mm-hmm. Kids lead the way. The
and
children are our future.
You have to.
Not mine.
Teach them
they
well.
They need to get off
they
my
will,
lawn.
They will teach you well and then
let
them show
lead
you.
The way. Yeah.
Sing it.
I believe the children are future.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Teach them well and let them lead the
what
way.
What else?
short amount of beauty they possess inside.
You guys are good.
Give them a sense of pride.
Make it easier.
Oh, yeah.
Let the children.
Yeah, that, yeah. See, you can't start something like that. You can't teach that either.
That's something you're going to keep going.
All right. Sorry, guys.
Yep, sorry.
So how do you keep your life organized? Is there software that kind of helps you, like, schedule all these things? Or
I don't use a software.
So you're manually posting everything.
I manually post everything.
Which I got to say, like, having hung out with you now for several days, like, you and I met on this trip. So, like, we've been doing a ton of activities. If you ever need anybody to do any of your social content just for yourself, I've had way more cool photos of my experiences over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Just because you're hanging out and you're doing all the work and I'm just having fun. But then it's like, oh, now I can show people all the fun I had. And I never even thought to take a photo. It's been incredible.
And you know what? I don't even think twice. I'm so used. I mean, that's just what I do, I create content. I don't think about it. I just create it. And then later on, I'm like, okay, now I can push it out.
I'm like seriously impressed with even where you see content. Like, you, like, we're just walking into this thing and you're like, oh my God, we're going to do this thing. And I'm at the time like, oh, Tracy wants to take another picture. Damn it.
And then I kind of like it. I know,
but then we get the stuff and I'm like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
She's, and like, they made us take the group picture on the backdrop. Yeah.
Come stand in this mirrored box and do something weird and look over here. And then the next thing you know, we're like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
And if you're not doing a cool pose, she'll be like, what were you doing?
Yeah.
Get in or get out.
Yeah, you get scolded.
Yeah. Well, she's right.
Well, I did that. She's right. The phone on the ground last night.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Every time I'm like, this is weird.
It's like 300 people, and she said, walk around us.
Yeah. Yeah. That was funny. That was probably the classic. Is like, we're in line going into the thing, and Chris is just like, I'm going to set my phone on the ground. Everyone will part the seas. To make way for us as we stand around.
Oh, God, now you make me sound like one of those.
It's
like,
not bad.
Like, influencers but in the wild or something.
But nobody's mad about it. Like, everybody's just,
we do,
like,
it quick, though.
I know, it's, but, like, I'm saying, like, other people, like, if I was at home, probably any place else, and that happened to me, I would be like, all right, come on, guys, really, you got to do this. But, like, nobody's mad about it. They're all just like, well,
they're kind of jealous.
She's got,
like,
blue.
That's how it happens.
She's got blue hair, and she will kick my ass, so I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd look at her and be like, nope, I'm not saying nothing.
I'm glad I'm threatening like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now the dog's here, so it's even worse.
Yeah. So do you get tired of it at all? Or there's some days you're like, I'm not posting anything today. Do you have, like, a hot streak?
Well, here's the thing. At the end of the day, that's what I do for a living. So it's like saying, I mean, I don't want to go to work today, but we still go. Like, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just like, it's almost second nature to me. So I just do it. I don't think about it. And I just kind of like, oh.
Was there ever a time where you had like five phones? Or like,
you remember, like, that?
No, I don't know. I don't. But I'm assuming that you did.
No, I did.
How many?
Five.
Really?
Yeah.
When
I figured out that I figured out a way to hack Instagram so I could put 25 accounts on one phone.
Oh, yeah. It did used to be like that.
Well, you're not supposed to be able to do that. And then I figured out when I was trying to like 9 a.m. post a whole bunch of stuff, I think that it was affecting each other because it was coming from the same address.
Yeah.
So that it looked like it was spam potentially. So I started separating stuff onto separate phones again. So, but I'm not carrying five. I'm
only carrying two. Oh. See, I'm two for two.
You're guessing. You're pulling numbers out of your ass and being right.
There's two.
That was amazing.
So, all right, what is next with social media? Where do you see it going? Like, what are the trends?
That's the hard part right now, because TikTok is in the process of potentially getting shut down by the government.
Yeah.
Not just in the U.S. India, it's been shut down out of India.
Oh, really?
And there's a lot of other countries that they're removing it off the government phones, just like we are. So we're in an interesting period right now, and there's going to be an opportunity because there's a big hatred for Facebook at this point, which I personally hope, and I don't think people realize, I hope that Facebook does not go away, because it is the only truly social network that exists. There's all these different, you know, Instagram and TikTok and, you know, Snapchat and Twitter and so on and so forth. There is no actual social network where, not big ones like Facebook, where you can sit there, post pictures and communicate with family and friends and, you know, and have these circles and these groups and so on and so forth. There's nothing like that that exists other than Facebook. So I hope to God that Facebook doesn't go away. And a lot of people have said that because they turned into Meta and started going down this metaverse route.
I just feel like once Nana was on it, it just kind of started going downhill from there.
I get it.
Killed Meta. Mark swept it under the rug, I believe, last week.
Oh, really? He just said, screw it, we're back to Facebook?
Well, they lost over $40 billion so far, and it's really gone nowhere. For that amount of money, you would expect there to be more. Like, I think the Oculus headwear, that is really cool. That's what we're doing here. So we can sort of give someone the ability to, like, sit down, look around. But you need the hardware to do it.
Right. Why isn't it in the middle of the table?
Because then I wouldn't be able to see you. And also,
or
like,
right there.
And we wanted it to give it a fourth, like you're sitting at the
table.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
We found that this to be the sweet spot, too, for the closer you get, the more like our edges are blurred when we move.
Right.
So,
okay.
6 feet is kind of the sweet spot.
Okay.
For that.
Yeah, and I just saw this in the Insta 360 booth.
Camouflage. Oh.
Yeah. Sorry.
You just saw it downstairs. Yeah. I thought you just said I just noticed that it was there. No. All right. Here I am. I just woke. Hey, guys, it's day four. Leave me alone.
Oh. Okay. I'm so.
And you've been solo
right
most of the day. You've
I'm
been
so
host. No.
Right
no
now.
Co-host.
Yeah. That's. I do that. I have that effect on people.
Mine solo.
Is this guy in charge?
So back to what you were asking about social media. So talking about Facebook and scrapping Meta, I don't think it was wrong to decide to want to get involved in the metaverse, but I think it needed baby steps.
Yeah.
So if you take, for example, I just had this conversation downstairs. If you take a typical website and you look at it, it's very two-dimensional, and you shop and you put stuff in your shopping cart. But if you look at the terminology, it's definitely like, you know, created after, you know, shopping and putting it in your shopping cart and checking out. That's all physical stuff that we do in real life. So if they had taken baby steps and made individual websites into 3D shopping experiences, which I think is what will happen, you can go into a website on your Oculus, shop around to, you know, pick things up, whatever, put it in your cart and go shop and check out. That's a very smaller version of the metaverse that I think that people can grasp and understand. And then eventually link those individual shops, and then you got them all.
Yeah, I could
and
see.
And then,
I could see,
you know.
I could see entering the metaverse from a commerce perspective. I think
it would just be a,
well,
would
I mean,
be
I think
like
some of the things
steps.
That's happening is like the metaverse is a conceptual place that was invented by a writer. Right. And then like it's been talked about for years and years and years.
Decades and decades.
The technology is starting to get to the point where it could become a reality. But I'm not sure as human beings we want to jump into it. And I don't think enough people have developed for it. Like, you know, it's kind of one of those things like build it before they come. Right. Like or build it and they will come kind of thing. Like
that's not how the metaverse works.
Right. Because, but like, yeah, because yeah. we have to be kind of indoctrinated and led into this space where we're like, okay, now we're going to live here. We're going to do this thing. I mean, there's some scary stuff about it because, you know, I believe, if I remember right, the author who invented the metaverse got to a place where everybody was no longer really in the real world. They were always in the metaverse. So it was like more of a warning.
Ready Player One.
Yeah, Ready Player One. Yeah.
Or
great movie.
Wall-E.
Yeah.
Remember everybody in the chairs that bumped into each other.
Super fat, drinking sodas.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's been kind of a warning space in sci-fi for a while. And I
definitely agree. And then everything that happened with pandemic was just an introduction to spending time behind your computer and being stuck inside of
it. Was that phase one?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's a plan. Maybe it is. Maybe it is a plandemic.
They fast-forwarded us.
But see, like, I was actually going to say, like, that would have been the perfect time if the metaverse was more developed. That would have been the perfect time to introduce it to make us all be like, well, in order to be together, we can do it
virtually. It was just a little bit late. Yeah.
They just weren't ready.
It was a year or two late.
That's how you know it wasn't planned for, because they weren't ready to make it mainstream.
Yeah. And I think it will get there eventually. It really will. I mean, Ready Player One is
I hope it never
sexy,
gets there.
Ready Player One is a kind of sexy version of it inside the metaverse. You can be whoever you want, you want, and you can win the whole metaverse, that kind of stuff.
But Ready Player One's like when you're controlling a real person, right? Am I remembering the things right? Like the player was controlling a real person that's going through all the crap?
That just came out.
Oh.
That you're probably not watching because it's not done yet. So David has this thing where he won't start a series until the whole thing is done.
Binge watch.
Yeah, I just want to know when the story ends.
So how long did Game of Thrones take you to watch?
No, I watched Game of Thrones en route.
I've never seen it.
So here's the thing, though. Like, I've been reading the Game of Thrones books for 20-some-odd years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. So Game of Thrones as a series, which when it first came out, it was in line with the book. So
I'll add it in post, though. I'm going to add a really loud one in post.
It was really exciting to see, like, because George R. R. Martin still has not finished these books. And the last one was published, like, 12-something years ago.
Get off your ass, George.
Ridiculously so. George, what is he please. Doing? But I mean, in retrospect, he just got a really great way to not end the books, because everybody was pissed off at the ending of the TV series. So now he knows that shouldn't be the ending. However he's going to write it, that's not the one that should go forward.
Finally, we agree on something.
Yeah, finally.
So with photography, what are you shooting a lot of? Like, what is your genre now?
Astrophotography, Milky Way mostly, but,
What is it about astrophotography that you love?
You know, it's really crazy because I spent so many years shooting the fastest photography I could think of, action sports photography.
To the slowest.
I love going on adventures, and I love the challenge of mapping out something that you haven't seen and you don't know if it's specifically gonna be able to get it unless you've been there. But if you haven't been there, you kind of plan it out, and it's kind of like playing a game or a puzzle or whatever. And then you show up and you hike in or, camp out, whatever it takes. It's all part of this massive adventure and journey. And
so when you're doing astrophotography, are you deep into the planning? Like, are you looking at like the apps to find out where the stars are? And then you're going to find the physical object on Earth that's going to be kind of in the foreground? Or are you more of a, I'm just going to go hike here and see what I'm going to get?
So I'm going to lean towards the former, although I have done the latter as well. So typically I like to go somewhere I know that I'm going to get, a composition that I'm going to like.
Yeah.
So I often, I'm not a big person on looking for places that a lot of people go.
Okay.
So I'm always trying to, pour through photos and
figure
out.
So you're not going to Horseshoe Bend to do astrophotography?
I have gone to Horseshoe Bend to do astrophotography prior to them building a parking lot and charging admission and building railings and all that kind of stuff.
Wait, they built a railing at Horseshoe Bend?
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
I'm sure you'll find TL initials on trees that are the oldest initials on the trees. The
leave
first
no
ones
trace.
There.
Leave no trace.
Leave no Tracy.
Leave no Tracy.
No, that's a good point. No. Where are your favorite places to go, and where's next?
My favorite places are the Southwest. I really enjoy. If you take a look at the dark sky map of the United States, it is almost literally cut in half, with the East Coast, the center and the East side is all light pollution and crazy, and then the center to the west, there's different areas that have light pollution, but for the most part, it's dark skies across. We got the Rockies and, a lot of really, really great dark sky locations. So being in the Southwest is just awesome for night photography. Now, it's not saying it's impossible to do on the rest of the country. It's just you have to really try a lot harder. I do wish when I was doing all my traveling with the UFC and, every time I went on a trip for the UFC, so I went on a trip where I went to Japan for a UFC. Then I went to Australia for a UFC. And then I spent the next 6 weeks after that hopping around Southeast Asia. I was not an astrophotographer at that point. So I feel like I missed a lot of opportunities to shoot a lot of amazing locations with the stars, which, so I have regrets there, but that means I just have to, you know, get out there and go back. One of my top places on the list of places I want to shoot or go to adventure-wise is the Son Dung Cave in Vietnam, which is the world's largest cave. It has multiple different climate systems within the cave, and it is a four-day trek through only one tour company, and you have to be extremely good, you know, health and shape to go on this trip.
Is there a possibility that you get stuck in the cave during a rain that's unexpected very quickly?
So that was in Thailand that you're talking about, yep. But I don't believe so because the cave is so massive. It's not like you're in a small, little, tiny, narrow corridor that fills up. It's like caverns.
I don't think I'm ever going to go in a cave again.
Why?
Why?
Did you see that movie?
Oh, I didn't.
About the kids?
13 kids.
13 kids.
And the one rescuer died.
One of the kids just died.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
He in like another country from something.
He was in the UK. Yeah.
But yeah, so these kids, the way that they had to get them out was nuts. They drugged them. They fell asleep, wrapped them up like mummies, and then towed them out for like 45 minutes underwater. They have masks on. So it's like if these kids would have woken up. So the anesthesiologist had to dive, who was a diver that like flew in.
He had to figure out being under the water how.
He had to figure out how to dose them correctly to be out for 45 minutes to not kill them, to bring them out. And like he was back there and just knocking them all out one by one.
Days and
like a week, like 10 days.
I think it was even longer, wasn't it? Like 20 days or something. That was a
crazy. And then one of the rescuers died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the best divers out there, supposedly.
So I'm never going in caves, and now I'm never going in the woods again because of Cocaine Bear.
Oh, what a great movie.
Yeah, I keep thinking about it. I want to go back and see it again.
I'm down.
David didn't like it.
You didn't?
So David was expecting more comedy. I thought
Elizabeth, a lot of comedy.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it went from comedy to campy. Like once it started getting more into the horror genre, I felt like it was more campy then, and I was expecting more comedy.
There's a lot of really dry dialogue-based comedy that like...
It's
just really weird characters saying like really dry, weird things.
I just, I was thinking more like...
You want slapstick comedy, dad jokes.
No, I was thinking what was the make a porno one with Elizabeth Banks? Like
make a porno.
Yeah, it was like Matt and Miro make a porno or something like that. And like that one was funny. I was thinking more like super bad style comedy, not like. Like I said, not
coming of age, comedy,
not Ghoulies from 1980. Like that's what I was thinking. that's Cocaine Bear.
Oh, I thought it was style. So great.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I thought it was a good balance of horror, like
something for everyone,
right?
You know, something for everyone.
Horror shock value, like just
animal enthusiasts. You know,
yeah,
no animals were hurt.
Because he's CGI.
I mean, the Cocaine Bears, they loved it.
They loved
seemed
it.
Very happy.
They were very enthusiastic about everything. Yep. All right, so back to photography.
Mm-hmm.
What is your go-to lens for? Like, what's the one lens you can't live without?
Oh, God, I vary all the time. I was sponsored by Tokina for a very long time, so I'm still running my Tokina lenses on my Canon 5D Mark IV. I haven't made the jump over to mirrorless yet. Which I will do eventually.
So
really
you're
soon.
You're the one.
I know.
You're the one.
I'm the one. I'm
one
the
left
old.
Behind. I like
I'm
the DSLRs.
Old lady. I'm the old lady.
So does David. Don't get David talking about it.
Yeah. I still like my.
I just like the reaction time. And I haven't played around with the R5 or the R6, so I don't know what the reaction is on that. But I know that the Sony mirrorless wasn't, like coming from an action sports photographer, I couldn't just throw up the camera and click the button and it took the shot and
oh, it definitely
good.
Does now.
Doesn't know. Yeah, yeah. I haven't touched a mouse.
They
so.
Got some. They
the
got
eye
some,
tracking is.
Yeah, the eye tracking on crazy. Uneven sports and fast paced stuff is ridiculous.
I know the A9 was supposed to be really great for sports and stuff, but I mean A1, I haven't.
The A1 is ridiculous.
Like, I haven't paid attention to the cameras that Sony's brought out. Recently.
Oh, they're crazy.
I just kind of was like, okay.
But I mean, like, I feel like we've had this conversation a few times too. Is like, especially people who are still DSLR shooters, like just. You know, being happy and not needing, you know, like I still shoot with a D850. It's an amazing camera.
Oh, that's a great little light camera.
You know,
camera.
It's just like there's no reason why. I mean, I have a Sony, but I prefer the Nikon. One, the user interface is, to me, way easier, way more intuitive.
And that's
but
the biggest thing I hear.
It's kind of also
Sony.
Like what I learned, you know, like switching to Sony, the you know, I'm sorry for all the Sony guys, but like the menu is crazy. It just doesn't even make sense. And
I don't think there needs to be that many menus.
Yeah.
I don't want that many options in life, in menus.
Ah, I mean, talking about...
At dinner.
At sushi? Dinner, talking about
what
Tracy.
What about sushi?
Dinner.
I we mean, like...
We go to eat with Tracy. She just orders everything for us, and we just... Cool.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm glad that you ordered everything, because I looked at it, I was just like, I can't... there's a lot going on here.
Yeah. And then Tracy's like, we'll take... 5 of these, 6 of these, 1 of these, and then we were satisfied.
That's my favorite thing to do at any dinner. I don't like the dinners. Like, if we were to all go out, 6 of us, 7, 10, and everyone got their own thing, that to me is the least fun thing to do. No matter where we go, I'm like, can we just get everything? Because I'd like one bite of everything on the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's always the
best. I don't want to eat a
family
lot of
style.
One thing. Let's do that when I get home.
Family style, yeah.
Family style.
Just throw it on the table, and we'll just dig our hands in.
Fight over it.
Well, like those KFC stick things, yeah, I'm going to fight you for one of those things. Those things are amazing.
I didn't even try them. I've never tried those there. But
you should eat them.
Yeah, I mean, he loved them too. But well, I love the yuzu yellowtail. So.
Yeah, that was good.
So what's the key?
So
what's the secret
to
living
tonight?
In Vegas?
The secret?
What's the secret? How do you, I can't be here for more than 4 days. How are you doing it?
I don't hang out at the Strip.
Okay, so no Strip, yeah. Number one.
Where I mean, the only time I come to the Strip is if I'm like going to
there?
A restaurant.
What else is out there?
Like, if you took away the Strip, you just have normal suburbia, normal city.
What are the, on average, the average person you meet in Vegas, how are they?
That's a different story. That's a different story because, I mean, a lot of people are hospitality-based. They work on the Strip, so...
So they're kind of exhausted from the dealing with the general public.
Yeah,
they
I mean,
bring
definitely,
that home with them.
Definitely that, and or they party and get pretty crazy 24/7, and so that makes them very interesting.
Can
so,
do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of people that never touch the Strip, like me. I barely ever. The only time I come out the Strip is when friends are in town. Otherwise, I go. Any of my entertainment is usually off, like, I go to Chinatown and go do some karaoke. I go to the roller skating rink. I go to one on this side of town, one on that side of town.
What's the difference?
Thursday nights at the one over there and Sunday nights at the one over there. And that, I mean, those are the adult nights that we don't have to trip over children.
Why not rollerblades?
I don't like rollerblades as much as quads. It's a lot more stress on your ankles and...
Do you do any of, like, the jump and tricks and grinding?
No. It's all, like, more dancing. And
flowing. Yeah. What's dancing your favorite Usher song to dance to?
Oh. My Way? I don't know.
I feel like he roller skates a lot. I feel like every
video. You know what? I haven't seen him, but I do know that there's been times over at that roller skating rink owned by Floyd Mayweather that he'll show up and... I mean, but Floyd's there almost every weekend.
Floyd Mayweather owns a roller skating rink?
Mm-hmm. And he's there almost every weekend.
How does that come around?
When you like something, you do it a lot.
Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. You got extra money. You're just like, I really love to do this. I'm going to build one.
Yeah, and you roll up there, and there's all these massive security guards, you know, with the money team on their hat.
I always try to understand that, too. Like, Floyd Mayweather, you really need, like, you're a championship boxer.
Well, he doesn't need to get in a fight with a fan who's up in his face, so that's why he has a security guard to handle that.
I mean, Mike Tyson's old, and I'm still not rolling up to him and be like, hey, what's
but,
up,
but
old man?
That's a perfect example, because...
whip someone's ass on the plane?
On the plane, yeah. Well, because the guy was fucking messing with him.
This is, you can see
I can
shit,
fucking
cock
with him.
Balls.
Shit, cock, balls.
Yeah.
The guy was fucking with him on the plane. He ended up punching him, right? Yeah,
he did.
Yeah. So that's exactly why Floyd Mayweather has.
You can't sue me. Sue my security.
Tracy, what is the secret? If I want to do something or go somewhere and I have good intentions to do it, but then I don't, what's the secret to following through on a boy's dream or girl's dream? How do you make it happen?
How do I make it happen? I like pushing the envelope. And you're saying me personally, right?
Yeah.
The envelope and really doing more than I should be able to do. Like, you look at me and you think I do everything, right? And I've just always been like, well, how can I do something more? And how can I fill up my day more? And it just makes me happy. It makes me happy to be like, oh, I did this and I trained this and I am learning this. And just for me personally, that's just the person that I've always been. And I enjoy that. I like having something to show for my day every day.
Did you have a mentor in your life that was like that?
No. I mean, the only thing was, you know, as a kid, my mom told me I could do anything that the boys can do.
And like, now you're doing way more.
Yeah.
Yes.
So way more.
When did you move from the Cayman Islands?
I was 2 weeks old.
So I got bit
by the spider somewhere after 2 weeks.
Scorpion.
Scorpion, yes. Yeah. I've been back once. Oh, a sow wants your attention.
Yeah, finally. She walked right by me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On the way in. Was hurt a little bit.
Well, now she loves you.
Yeah. So are there things that you don't accomplish that you tried to do, or pretty much you're getting it done every day?
Well, so I am easily sidetracked by social media. So I spend a lot of time studying it and seeing what's being posted and paying attention to, you know, pop culture and all that kind of stuff. And I feel that I spend too much time doing that and not enough time filling my day with other things. Like,
what else would you do?
Productive things, like creating more content. I know that sounds crazy.
I want to step away from social media by creating content for social media.
I want to do all the other things that I want to do more.
But I feel like, yeah, but I feel like it could be more productive in creating content, whether it be doing a podcast or, you know, right now I'm working on building different sets around my house so that I have different backgrounds to film content on. So it's not the same backdrop every time because I do so much content. So
does one of them have lasers and kittens?
Well, one of them has like a white 3-dimensional panels on the back.
Oh, cool.
And I was just talking to some companies downstairs about lights for them. So they want to send me some lights to light up the whole thing. So I will work on the lasers and maybe some floating kitten heads.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Works. Hey.
Just get the cat wallpaper like Gary.
Yeah, but I have 3D paneling.
I mean, you can just build a set with tiger head wallpaper.
I love my tiger head wallpaper.
Sand.
We bought a home and we've been taking down a lot of the wallpaper that was there because it's, you know, what my grandma would have chosen.
Retro.
My very conservative grandma.
Not cool retro.
It's not. No. I've been putting up a lot of kind of like mid-century modern wallpaper. I love Graham Brown, but there was a spot where we wanted to get tiger wallpaper and I actually found it on Gucci of all places. I didn't know Gucci made wallpaper. And
actually, that's expensive wallpaper.
It actually was about the same as most of the stuff on Graham Brown is like 160 to 200 a roll. And most of the rolls at Gucci are like 500. This one, though, all tigers. And it's amazing.
Clearance.
A bunch of tiger heads.
Nothing's ever on sale at Gucci. $200. $200 a roll. So it was like $1,000, and we did like two big walls, just tiger heads. It's my favorite thing about the house.
I got to see this.
It's pretty impressive.
It's pretty awesome.
I want to see how the rest of it's decorated. She's just exploring. Just leave her. She's good.
Tell her to watch out for the gummies. Get you. They'll creep up on you. They're not on the ground. They'll be good.
She would eat them.
What's one thing you think people need to not do? Like when you see a lot of either photographers maybe making mistakes, what's like one thing that...
So after pandemic or during pandemic, a lot of people who never touched the outdoors started touching the outdoors. And a lot of stuff is getting ruined. Be because of Instagram and because of tagging, and it's so easy to drop a pin, or I want people to come to my website, so I'm going to give all the tea on locations and so on and so forth. So a lot of places are getting destroyed. And so the biggest thing that I am an advocate for is not tagging locations and not just dropping pins to people. If people want to, A, do research on their own, they deserve to go if they find it. Or B, they want to go along with me, or they want to go along with someone who knows a location. They go with them because they trust them and they're going to pass that same value on to them, hopefully.
Right.
And I don't want to stop people from going places. I just want to stop people from dropping pins and making it super easy that
Chase is like, that's my shot. I earned it.
Well, no, I mean, but you understand what I'm saying is, like, because we're such a pin drop culture at this point.
Yeah.
People just show up and they have story. There's a place called Reflection Canyon, and it is quite a distance to get there. It's probably a 7-hour drive. Part of it's 4x4 road. The road condition changes no matter what, all different times of year. But to get the best image of that location, your best time to go is typically end of April because the lake is at its lowest. Right now it's even lower than that, but typically normal times, the lake's at its lowest. And you have to hike about 9 to 10 miles each direction through some pretty crazy, like, sand dunes and just rocky territory.
You're going to earn this.
You have to earn this, right? Oh. You okay, Sal?
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying.
So, I wrote a journey blog about it on my website. About how to get there and, you know, what to do. And I used to get messages all the time from people. And I think people were unintimidated by the hike because I'm female and that I went out there. And I could be, you know, making assumptions based on that. But people all the time would be like, oh, okay, no big deal. And then I would hear stories. Oh, we couldn't get there because we didn't have a 4-wheel drive.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And I'm all like, I said you needed a 4-wheel drive. And another guy decided to go in the middle of June. I was all, you shouldn't go. I was all, it's going to be too hot. He ended up almost dying out there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say about that, too. Is like, I mean, I grew up in Colorado, and it was, you know.
Native.
Yeah.
Native.
Now that you can pin things, I think some people don't realize like what it takes to get to some of these places. They just are, oh, well, there's a pin. I'm just going to follow it like it's Google Maps. Well, not really works like that when you're talking about getting in wild and getting to crazy places. So like people don't pack right. They don't bring enough water. They don't, they don't plan ahead. They get out there and then, they end up creating nightmare situations that people now have to come and get you and rescue you, all because like you didn't, I mean, and I'm not trying to be like a gatekeeper to like the world's greatest places, right? Like you're not trying to do that. You're just, you know, in doing the research, you're going to find out all of the things that you need to bring and how you need to get there. And you're going to earn the spot versus just like, I cruised through the 7-Eleven and I got 3 bottles of Fuji water and I'm just going to go out there and see what happens.
Right. And
with
and
my iPhone.
I took a group out there. They were with me. I gave them a packing list. And we got out there. One of them didn't bring any food. And I was like, why didn't you bring food? He goes, oh, I thought we were hiking in and hiking back out. I was all, it's 20 miles.
Yeah.
20 miles. We're shooting the stars. We're staying the night.
Yeah.
So he didn't bring any food. The other one decided he was on keto. And before we got on the journey, no carbs, right? But he also made this skillet of meat with tons of salt and all stuff prior to getting on trail. Like he ate that in the, you know, before we got on the trail, and he was so dehydrated. We all ran out of water trying to help this guy out. So we ended up having to find the various potholes. In April, there's rain potholes all over the place out there. In June, they are dried up. Which I warned this guy. I said, there's going to be no potholes out there for water. You're going to get out there. It's going to be, it was literally 106 that day because coincidentally, I went to Reflection Canyon by boat that exact same day. So we're texting, kind of getting messages back and forth. He's on top hiking across. I'm on bottom, but I didn't know how. I know now there's a way to get out from boat, but we couldn't get out of the lake from that, on that particular trip. So I had tons of water, tons of supplies, but he was up top and there was no way to get it to him. And he almost died. He had to drink his urine twice walking out of there.
I thought you weren't supposed to do that. I didn't think you got anything from that.
I mean, he had no
liquid. Was he just kind of kinky?
He
was
like,
kind of kinky.
This is a good excuse.
But he sought this out.
He made it. He made it, thank God. But I mean, it's just like a perfect example of me warning people. I got tired of answering anyone's emails and questions about it.
Sounds like you should do this for an actual business and be an adventure tour guide. Tracy's Tours. Come on, Tracy's Tours has got a great ring to it.
Thankless, thankless job.
They thank you with money.
Yeah, no, but I told you.
I used to go on like 7-10 day hikes back in the day. I haven't done it in a really long time, but holy, you really go on adventures. You get into some trouble a little bit. You know, like you're in the middle of nowhere. If something bad goes wrong, like
go south, you're screwed.
That's a good feeling.
It is. It is. It's also good to get away from like technology. I mean, although probably when you were going, there wasn't as much connectivity, but
not as much.
It's nice now to like get to places where technology has to follow.
Here's the crazy part. We would go that 10 miles out onto Lake Powell. You hit the top of Reflection Canyon overlooking the canyon, and you've got the Navajo Mountain right straight across with the cell tower right on top. Mm-hmm. So when you start the hike, you have no self-service.
No, but when you get there, you're rewarded.
Right.
And then you can, with
your post.
Good enough self-service to live stream.
Yeah. Then you're posting hike life, no big deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling sweaty, might delete later.
Hash.
So are there companies where you can like rent a guide and like you go on a 7-day adventure?
Yeah, there's actually photo tours that would do that.
That sounds lame. I want to go on
like adventure photo tours. They exist out there. Yes.
Do they prevent like Aunt Forest Diane fires from coming? I want something where like 80% of the people are like, nope.
Well, I mean, you can hire them for private guides instead of going on a group tour.
Are there a lot of these people? Are they cool? The guides? Rent a guide? What would it cost to rent a guide and go on an adventure for 7 days?
I don't know what the cost is, but I could definitely introduce you. And we can find, asking me. You want me to tour guide?
Anyone.
Oh, okay.
I mean, are we going to get matching uniforms and hatchets?
Are they going to be Thor t-shirts?
That's in the Gary Rider.
If I don't get a tomahawk, it's not
Thor
coming.
T-shirts?
Yes, Thor
he
t-shirts.
He carries an axe, right?
Hammer.
No, hammer.
Well, no, the hammer was the old one.
Yeah.
Now he carries an axe.
Yeah, big old battle axe.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not thinking of a battle axe. I want a tomahawk.
Okay, you get a tomahawk.
Sweet.
What's the difference between a tomahawk and a battle axe?
Size.
Size matters?
Usually like...
And one's paint. It's how you swing it, apparently.
There's like a million different types of axes.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because like different cultures made different axes for different purposes. Different kinds of war.
Okay.
All my axes live in taxes.
What kind can skin a head?
A skin axe. Duh.
Scalp. Yeah, scalp.
Tomahawk,
yeah. So battle axe couldn't scalp a head?
Well, battle axes, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on how they're being. Like, if you're talking World of Warcraft, like huge battle axe that
I'm
nobody
talking
could possibly
Thor
swing. Yeah. I've never seen Thor's battle axe.
How is that possible?
Because I lost interest in all
it's,
of
he had to forge
it's in the
newer, another
so it just
one.
Means he hasn't seen like the last seven
yeah
Marvel
yeah
movies.
I mean, they just keep coming.
Came out about seven movies.
They keep coming, and they've basically the same story over and over again at this point.
All right, what haven't we talked about? I feel like this could go on forever, but we have a
so
guest
I was,
what
I,
haven't we talked about?
Well, I was going to call you out because, you know, you brought up, asked me about someone, I'm not going to name them or anything, and you said, well, how much do you believe them? Because they just always say that they do all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was all like, well, how much do you believe me? Because I do all this stuff too.
Yeah, no, I believe you. That was a completely different story. You've got receipts. You've got
pictures and Instagram accounts to prove it.
Yeah. So what we're talking about is, I think a lot of people post online with this person they actually want to be, you know, like, or they wish they can be, and they're kind of like acting like that's what they do. And there's kind of this general consensus now, common denominator that people aren't actually that happy. Like, they're posting and it's not really the situation. It's just like a clever angle. I think the difference between what you're doing is that you're actually doing it. Like, you're training to be a stunt movie double. You like know how to, I saw a video of you the other day kicking someone's ass with a knife, and at the very end, she licked it. I'm like,
I actually Jesus. Accidentally licked it too.
Accident. It didn't look like it was an accident.
No, I didn't. I mean, like, I did this and yeah, I was just trying to motion yeah. it, yeah. but I actually licked the prop knife. I didn't mean to. It was,
you know,
unintentional. I mean, it
she's going to be in John Wick 5. You I'm heard hoping, it here first.
I'm yeah. hoping. That's my, really, with the stunt acting, I just am fascinated by, you know, major directors like Michael Bay and, you know, Jerry Bruckheimer and, you know, all these different, like, how do you think on that scale? Like, think through a 2 or 3 hour, you know, production and just how big and how many people are involved in it and so on and so forth. Like, how do you capture that? And
how do you eat an elephant?
I don't know.
One bite at a time. Just break it down into smaller segments and go.
Right. But I mean, to be able to sit there on that set and see that happening, to me, it was fascinating. The idea of that is fascinating. So I would like to get there someday.
What do you think it's going to take? Luck, or you're going to have to, like, do something?
Well, I mean, it's going to... So I feel like I've started at the bottom and climbed my way. Yeah.
No, we're getting there. Oh. We're trying to go.
No, I've started at the bottom in multiple different genres and climbed my way to the top. And I've done it over and over again. And what that takes is hard work, motivation, and being humble. And not like,
and
okay,
a 5G network.
I might be, you know, on this level in this space, but in this space, no one's ever heard of me. So I have to start at the bottom and build all the relationships and climb my way to the top. Well, fortunately for me, in firearms and in MMA and in photography and in, you know, all these different things that I've done from the bottom up, now all those are coming together because so many of the fighters that I spent so many years with traveling the world with, you know, during the UFC days are now stunt actors. They're all involved in the industry. And what I've been doing is trying to just become talented enough before I go to them and say, hey, this is what I'm doing now. If you ever hear of them looking for a female stunt actor, like, I haven't gone and reached out to those contacts yet because I don't want to do that before I feel I'm ready to be on those movies. 'Cause I don't want to make them look bad.
Yeah.
So now I'm 6 months into my training. I've got 7 years of combative firearms training experience. I've got a lot more that I can bring to the table. And that's also why I'm doing gunsmithing. What happened with Alec Baldwin on the set of Rust should have never happened. If he followed even one of the rules of firearm safety, that would have never happened. And that has motivated me to go to gunsmith school and hopefully not only be a stunt actor, be a armorer on set of movies. So that does not happen. So I think that I'm just setting everything up. I'm setting the pieces up to walk through the door.
Constantly evolving.
Well, I feel like we could keep talking for hours.
And I'm sorry.
I would like to. But we have another show in 2 minutes. Damn it.
2 minutes?
Yeah. Dos minutos.
Where's the guest?
Well, he's probably waiting downstairs, and Rich is just being polite and not walking through the set. But maybe he's down there. I don't know where Rich is at. But, we have Sanjay next.
Oh. Uh-huh.
But we're going to have to pick this up again. And we have to find an adventure guide. So when you're asking your buddies, when you finally get there, be like,
where do you want to go?
And also, are you an adventure guide?
You know? Where do you want to go?
On an adventure.
Yeah.
Well, you can go to the Son Dung Cave with me.
I want it to be like... I don't know.
That's Vietnam. We're going on multiple adventures.
I was going to do this like four and a half years ago. We were going to do a 3-day race, 100 kilometers.
Yeah.
And I was like 60% of the training in, and then I got injured. I had to have surgery, and since then I've just been itching to go on an adventure. I think a week, 10 days, I don't know, a decent amount of hiking, but no rock climbing, I don't think, maybe.
No caves, I got it.
And no caves.
You don't want to do sauna.
And maybe I'm bringing, are we going to bring pistols because of the cocaine bear, or do we just?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Of course.
All right, we're going. We have to.
I live in Texas. You don't leave your house without one.
Right?
Really?
Just because you can.
That's true.
It's not because Texas is overly dangerous.
Fair enough. All right. Tracy Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. As always.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Well, that's all for today's podcast. Join us next time for more interesting discussion about the wonderful world of photography and her dark, magical secrets. I'm fascinated with Instagram. It's such a simple construct. Just take a picture and post it on the internet. The other day, I took a picture of my neighbor's pet rabbit. He told me not to post it, but, you know, I did anyway. Wow.